those children who will never be found and will have a life of is 100% blood on the hand of Sasha.
Matching up what he just said with at least what we have from the news articles and the reporting from the Mexican police. Oh no, what does it say there at the bottom? AI generated images.
And sometimes the most painful part of that healing is telling the damn truth.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Timmy Did What podcast. I'm Kara Burrell.
And I'm Ryan Fisher.
Today, we have a really special episode. It's very near and dear to my heart because it deals with Tim smearing one of the women who put her life on the line to go on these missions to save sex trafficked kids. Tim then went on this Last Dispensations channel, made a video, made an interview where he ranted about how this woman made it so they did not rescue as many kids as they did. So I want to take you through a presentation that I've made about what Tim said versus what the truth is, and let you get to know one of the victims from the lawsuit that put her name, her face. She's not just a nameless person who's just is accusing Tim of things. She has a story that we're going to read, and we're going to talk about where Tim gets off thinking that he can smear this lovely woman, Sasha.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what you have. I haven't heard this story. It's regards Sasha, who I don't know very well, and I just know her from what I've read in the lawsuit, but she's an important person in this whole saga and has a really important story to tell, so I'm excited to hear what you got.
Like I mentioned in our previous episode that Tim was on Last Dispensations channel, and on the left is the original thumbnail, and then the second one was, oh, it had to get taken down. It's really important to actually put here on the internet what Tim was saying and smearing about these victims. And if Tim is really believable to you, bless you. If he's, when I get to the end of this and you say, oh my gosh, not only is Tim a gigantic fraud, but also I cannot believe that he would use such disgusting language and smear these women in such a horrible manner, I want to advocate for them. Please leave your comments below that you believe Sasha and you understand that Tim is a man who is losing, because we have the facts and the truth on our side on the Timmy Did What podcast.
And if you're a victim of sexual assault yourself, trigger warning, hopefully you have all the resources you need for your mental health and your healing. And we don't want to re-traumatize anybody, but it's important to lay out what actually is at stake here and what actually happened.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm going to play this clip of Tim and then we're going to break it down.
But this operation, man, was especially, it was probably the most dangerous one. And it has to do with the lawsuit. I can't get into like the specifics and give away tactics, but there was only one possible way to find this trafficker. And I used an actress. We used actresses on purpose. And she was phenomenal in the operation. In fact, we have her given the debrief on location. Luckily, somebody filmed it, where she's all excited because we identified the children.
All right. Does anything stand out to you on that? I put up a few of Tim's claims. I'll read them, and then I want you to pay attention to some inconsistencies of what he is saying and conflating different stories and mixing different timelines, also that he can bludgeon Sasha as this one person who's coming against him and try to say that what I'm doing right now, I did a great job on this operation we just finished, and it was almost ruined by this person that I now have every right to say her name and smear her.
And Sasha was not on this operation. She was an entire country away, but somehow had a big impact on this. I'm excited to see how he justifies
that. So starting with Tim's claims, he says, we're still in country. We just finished a huge operation. It's been about 2.5 years in the making. We just finished this, been hiding out, and now we're heading home. Point one. Two, he says, this latest operation was probably the most dangerous one, and it had to do with the lawsuit.
Okay.
So he's upping the ante to the height of the most important of I'm there right now. It's dangerous and has to do with the lawsuit. And third point, there was a Mexican trafficker who could only be found using an actress. And so he's talking about Sasha and he's talking about using her as a couple's ruse partner. Follow?
Follow.
Okay. All right. Next clip.
Okay. 2.5 years later, she's pounding her fist saying, her name's Sasha. He'd rebuild her name, so I'll rebuild it. She pounds, this has to stop. It was all fake. So I could hold her hand. Cause I want to hold her hand so much. Cause she's so hot. I just can't have it.
I always just have to pause there because of the cringe of the immaturity of like, I feel like I'm talking to a bunch of like freshmen in high school.
he just did an impression like he was a seventh grader. She wanted to hold my hand because she's so hot. Like
that and also,
seriously, is seventh grade.
Yeah.
It's so seventh grade.
She also is pretty hot. So it gets worse though. I'm going to keep playing.
Hold her hand, you know? So anyway, this is the sad part of the operation. It was the good news is 2 traffickers arrested, 14 kids pulled out. The youngest was 12. So think about that. And anyway, as a 12-year-old, think how young that is.
Yeah.
But here's the sad part. This was a major player in the cartel. That's why this was very dangerous. And there's hooks into Baja California, into Cancun. And the Mexicans were working this case for 2.5 years, right? But she comes and files a lawsuit and reveals all the details, okay? She reveals all the details. And so...
So let me just pause you right there, Ryan. If you're paying attention to the timeline of this lawsuit that was filed last October with Sasha's story in it, revealing all the details, supposedly...
I had experts come say, Tim, you got to drop this case. Like, this is way too dangerous. But we had to. We couldn't wait and rescue what probably would have been more like 50 kids if we had been able to finish the operation. But we couldn't because all the details were out. So we had to get in there before the trafficker happened upon, you know, the filing, right? So those children, you know, and...
So have you, had you seen that clip yet?
No, I have not seen
that. What's your reaction?
I have no words, honestly. He's saying that there's 40 kids, 40-something, 30-something kids that
they could have rescued about 36 more kids if it wasn't for Sasha revealing things in the lawsuit 10 months ago.
I have no words for that. That's not only like incredibly insensitive and inflammatory and offensive to them, but it also just speaks to what he's describing is an operation that only he was there for. And so there is no way for us to verify that that's true or not. I don't know. It just doesn't make any sense to me that there's 36 kids that are going to be raped for the rest of their lives now because of that lawsuit. What's the connection there? What did they reveal that stopped them from only saving 14 kids, not the rest of them?
I mean, in layman's terms, oh, wow, big tough guy working with Mexican people. Rambo went in, cartels were going to get you, bad women, bad. Tim Ballard, good, good, good. It's just a very desperate, like transparent take from Tim Ballard where he doesn't know that other people who have critical thinking, who are going to look at this with a more skeptical lens, will put these pieces together and say, no, big man Tim Ballard is actually little Timmy on his tricycle. We're going to go through the actual articles of the raid you're speaking about that you posted. Tim Ballard posted about this raid that he's speaking of and matching up what he just said with at least what we have from the news articles and the reporting from the Mexican police. I wouldn't put it past him to just look into the news in a city like, you know, somewhere in Mexico and say, oh, the police, they busted. Can we post that and say that we had something to do with that? Yeah, no one will know. Like, we'll just post that we said, hey, we got 14 kids. From my estimation, I can't tell that OUR had anything to do with this operation. And we'll get into that in a second. So it might just be like him very conveniently using the people who are already being rescued from sexual exploitation to then exploit him for his own reasons that people need to shut up so that he can sexually exploit people. You follow?
I follow.
All right. So Tim's claims from this video, because Sasha put her name to the claims of the lawsuit, Tim is allowed to use her name to smear her.
And that's not how you protect victims. This operation just happened, right? He said he's on it right now or just completed. So this would be an operation going through his spear fund, not necessarily OUR, right?
Mm-hmm. And also he partners with Aerial Recovery Group. They have a video of Sasha on location. He says, excitedly testifying that they identified the children that they just rescued. So again, she hasn't worked for OUR for at least over a year, if not longer. So he's talking about, we just finished this operation that where we rescued these kids. We just got them pulled out. It just hit like the Mexican news from these people just got arrested about last week. But he doesn't, I'm like, Tim, she didn't even work for, it was a year ago. What are you talking, what was she on camera saying, we got kids? She hasn't worked for you for over a year. And this operation just finished. And these are 14 kids at this time and location. There's not another 14 kids. There's not another couple. It's 14 kids in this one raid at a spa in Mexico in the last week. She wasn't there. So he says, we have her on video being excited that we did it. That doesn't happen. You're drunk, Tim. You see what I mean?
Let's see the video.
Okay. Mexican authorities have been working this case for 2.5 years, but Sasha revealed all the intel on this very dangerous case dealing with the cartels, and Tim had to go rescue the kids before it was too late against his advisor's judgments. And then he says that they could have rescued 50 kids instead of just 14, and those unsaved 36 kids. Therefore, the lawyers for the women and Sasha are 100% responsible for the kids never being found and enduring a life of rape.
Deny and deflect.
So this raid that he is talking about, that he just finished, that's been in the works for 2.5 years, that his advisors told him that this is too dangerous, too much stuff has been leaked, but he's just such a big, strong, tough guy, and he's going to do it anyway. What can you say? Tim Ballard, he just does the hard thing when it's required of him. This raid, according to all these Mexican articles that I could find on them, I'm going to read the title for you, and we're going to go through the article really quickly, and then we're going to point out what the Mexican authorities say versus what Tim says about this raid. This is taken directly from Tim Ballard 89 and Tim Ballard Tour on Instagram. So he posted this, and with the caption saying, 14 12-year-old girls slash boys trapped in this child sexual exploitation network have been rescued. This operation has a very special meaning because it is the International Day Against Human Trafficking. Coincidence. In this way, Ariel Recovery and Tim Ballard not only mark a milestone in history, but they also naked once again that these networks continue to expand in Latin America and the world. We know that Tim Ballard speaks like fourth grade level Spanish because he served his mission in like Mexico or something. So I'm going to read the title in my best fourth grade Spanish. Liberan a 14 víctimas de explotación sexual entre ellas menores de edad. All right.
Well done.
The article reads, federal authorities managed to free 14 victims of sexual exploitation in Puerto Vallarta, among them minors. So while Tim leads with, we pulled out 14, a lot of them 12-year-olds, just like young, it's as scary as possible. Sex trafficking is already as scary as possible. And Tim leads with the most horrifying version of it that, you know, makes him look like the superhero bad guy. So while it is a real thing, of course, you know, this article proves that. Of course, we want Tim, like we said in the last episode, to do a good job and save children. Do not take credit for things and do not use fear tactics to pump up your numbers and your donors for things that just, these kids have already been exploited. They don't need your further exploitation. So, Attorney General's office announced that elements of the Criminal Investigation Agency under the leadership of the Federal Public Prosecutor's Office of the Specialized Prosecution Office for Crimes of Violence Against Women, Groups in Vulnerable Situations, and Human Trafficking achieved the release of 14 alleged victims of the crime of human trafficking for the purpose of sexual exploitation, including several minors. And so I know that was a lot of different organizations that all really participated in this. Anything missing that you noticed?
I don't see the Spear Fund, OUR, or any of the other entities that Tim has started. Why isn't those?
I did translate it from Google Translate, and maybe it got mixed, lost in translation. Wait, there's more. Hold on, let me keep reading. The action also had support. Maybe he's in here. The action also had support of the Specialized Prosecutor's Office for Regional Control, and after months investigation and intelligence work, elements of the federal ministerial police located the property of the Diaz Ortaz neighborhood. Ruth N. was arrested, and by virtue of the urgency of rescuing the victims, alleged leader of a network of human trafficking for sexual exploitation, that operation mainly in said city. So this is really heavy Google Translate. But anything else about OUR, T, Tim Ballard Spear Fund Air Recovery Group.
I've seen it. There's a lot of people that are mentioned as taking credit, but
nothing. Okay. This woman, alleged leader of the network, also known as Baby Ruth, was dedicated to the sexual exploitation of women, including minors, whose network operated in Puerto La Vallarta, but is presumed that they may have presence in other states of our country. The women disguised her criminal activity through spa services to contact national clients, but especially foreign ones. And once she achieved this, she offered the young teenagers for sexual activities. A teenager was also arrested at the aforementioned location who was also collaborating with the criminal activities. And so just then it goes on to talk about how there will be a trial while everything else gets sorted out. Go ahead.
That photo is from the article, huh? I see law enforcement in there, obviously. They have some cuffs and guns. I know Tim is not allowed to have guns, so that's not a Spear Fund OUR Tim Ballard operative.
Yeah.
Obviously, law enforcement involved in this. The article mentions a lot of law enforcement agencies.
What a horrible thing. I'm glad that there's institutions and stuff taking care of this problem. When Tim Ballard looks at this, he says, how can I manipulate this for my gain? How can I use this story of these exploited teenagers and
take the credit?
Take the credit and propose them to be much younger and a much different story. And that how can I take advantage of the situation for the propping up of my ego so that when people accuse me of sex crimes, I did this though. I couldn't be the sex crime guy because I helped do things and get people out of this situation.
Yeah. And honestly, like Tim, saving kids, I'm absolutely in 100% support for. I want him to save kids. I want his foundations to save kids. That would be great. The more kids that are saved, the better. But if it didn't happen, don't take credit for it. Show us that it did happen. Show us that your organization and yourself were involved and contributed something good, because this is the article that he posted and he's not mentioned anywhere in it. I would think that if there's an article out there that his organization is mentioned, he would post about that. And maybe it's out there. If it's out there, please send it to us.
I would love to be proven wrong every day.
We will be corrected. We will be corrected, and we'll give you credit where credit is due. But given the history of exaggerated claims, this doesn't help.
Right. And if you remember to the last episode where I was referencing that I wanted to do this segment, go back to the last episode and Tim in the other clip that we played, he says, like, I'm busier than ever. We're rescuing more kids than ever. I did 16 operations this month, you know? And it's like, if this is the one that I've heard about this month, we cover this pretty closely. This is the one that I've seen that him post about on his personal Instagram page that he's taking credit for, and there's no indication that he can even take credit for the one that he's talking about. What are the chances that he's been doing 16 other operations both last month?
It just casts doubt, and I wish it wasn't the case, but...
So this is another thing that he posted along with Aerial Recovery Group that he works with. So right off the bat, what do you see, Ryan?
Those are very well-lit photos. Those are that's studio lighting on every one of those photos. They must have set up.
Oh no, what does it say there at the bottom? AI generated images to protect the identity of survivors. So I'm going to call straight up, Timmy did what? This is a BS. Don't even give me this is about protecting the identity of survivors, when that's the last thing that Tim has ever cared about, when he goes into these brothels and shoves cameras in kids' faces, grasping for straws to take credit for something that he probably had nothing to do with. And then to really drive the point home, get as many... type in 12-year-old girls who look sad and Mexican.
What is interesting to me is in creating this graphic that somebody had to go to the AI software and type in prompts. And what I'm seeing is they must have typed in brown-skinned Mexican girls, age 12, sad, traumatized.
Hold on, let me pause you. The girl in the center... I know what a little, that girl is a 6-year-old. That's not even a 12-year-old looking girl. Yeah, continue. They wanted to pull the heartstrings so bad. They mixed it up with all kinds of maybe 14, maybe 6, but continue your point. Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody typed in all these prompts to get the image that they wanted to represent the people, the girls that they saved. And at some point, whoever was typing in these prompts, did they think this is what we want? This is like marketing.
Yeah.
Maybe we shouldn't do this.
Because it's not, this is what it is.
Yeah, that's what it is.
It's girls who are much older, have been through puberty. I'm sure have horrible lives of rape. Nonetheless, I'm not discounting any of that, but this is the marketing versus what the reality is.
That photo that you had there from the article hits harder. That's tragic because those are actual real people, real girls.
I know when you see them in like the,
you just see their,
that girl in the black with the high heels.
Like that's,
yeah, that actually
those
does.
Those are real people. Yeah. Those are real people that are traumatized and their faces blurred for obvious reasons. That is tragic and sad, especially with that officer standing right behind them, that he had to save them in this situation. Then you go to the AI generated image and it's fake. It's a fake image. And so it makes you like disconnect. It makes me disconnect and be like, well, what else in this story is fake?
After years of relentless effort, their operators have successfully rescued 14 victims of sex trafficking in a coordinated operation with law enforcement. This victory comes as two traffickers have been apprehended, marking a significant milestone in our ongoing fight against the despicable crime. Stay tuned for updates. We are so proud that we are able to celebrate the freedom of 14 very young girls rescued from the clutches of trafficking.
So you have to protect their identities. I get that, but don't use a fake image. Don't use it. Again, doesn't lend credibility to the whole cause. And it makes you look like smoke and mirrors.
Mm-hmm. So put that piece together with everything that I've already told you about Tim, of what he's purported. He's just finished wrapping up in Mexico. And then who's to blame for this image not having 50 kids in it? And it's all Sasha and the lawyer's fault.
Okay.
That's his point. All right. So Tim's claims versus the truth, that he just finished a large and dangerous operation dealing with the cartels that's been in the works for 2.5 years, where the traffickers could only be found using the couple's ruse and an actress. More kids could have been rescued from trafficking if it wasn't for Sasha and the lawsuit revealing intel that the traffickers may or may not have become aware of. And the truth is that Mexican authorities just finished an operation that's been in the works for months, not years. No evidence that OUR, Aerial Recovery, the Spear Fund, Tim Ballard, or the use of Sasha as a couple's ruse partner played a role in recovering any kids during this raid in Mexico. Second point, no indication those arrested are linked to Mexican cartels, or that the lawsuit filed in fall of 2023 affected the outcome, or that there were more children who could have been saved during this raid carried out by Mexican authorities if it weren't for the lawsuit. That is Tim's claims on Last Dispensation on a video that needed to get taken down for obvious reasons, because the truth is not in Tim Ballard's favor on this.
Well, let me add to this. So the kids weren't saved because some cover was blown by a lawsuit filed in Utah. And we all know that the cartels, they love reading court documents from Utah. And it had nothing to do with the multi-million dollar worldwide film called Sound of Freedom. That didn't blow the cover. That had nothing to do with blowing cover. It was the obscure court documents in Utah. Like,
all right. And I got to wrap this kind of point all up, I got another video of Tim. I'm going to let him explain what he's up to.
Hey guys, we are just bailing out of a country right now, out of Mexico. As you know, we have a border crisis, which means all these kids, I've been talking about it at the RNC and other places, they're being trafficked into the United States. So what we've been doing at Aerial Recovery is going forward, deploying into Mexico and rescuing them with the Mexican police before they can get into our country. We're basically rescuing them from our own administration's policies, which are facilitating trafficking. I'm very, very, very happy to report that we just rescued 14 kids. We don't have all their names or information, but the majority were 12 years old. Think about that. Think of a 12-year-old, you know, we just got them out.
So much to say already. Just going to start there and move backwards. He starts with the majority of them were 12 years old. No indication whatsoever from the article that if it starts off with saying there were, you know, people pulled out of sex trafficking, comma, among them minors. And Tim's statement about it is most of them were 12 years old.
Yeah, that'd be nice to verify. What's so blatant in this video is he is taking a political message.
There you go.
He's using his platform and his claims, which we can't verify, we have found no verification that any of them are true, that that it has to do with the border crisis. So he can take shots at the current administration. He can pick up the Trump border crisis talking points. He even mentioned, he even says there, I was just talking about this at the RNC. So he just reveals to us motivations, why he's spinning this into his own political purposes.
Very transparent, yeah.
He's seeking a political appointment in the Trump administration if Trump wins. And to do that, he's pandering to all the Trump talking points about crises at the border, and that he's the good guy trying to solve it.
Right. Perfectly said. Well stated. And also, there's no indication from the article that these young girls, and I guess there might have been some boys too, that these trafficking victims were anywhere near the border, on the way to the border, on the way to be trafficked into America for sex trafficking, for any other trafficking reason. He just throws that in there. Like, these were like basically sex slaves and who were working at a spa by a woman who would then offer these other favors to her clients. I don't see any indication that they were being trafficked by cartels, that they were being exchanged, that they were being moved into the country. No indication of that whatsoever.
Yeah. I mean, we're trying to verify Tim's story. I mean, really, if there's something out there, please send it to us. We can't verify any of these claims whatsoever, but what it looks like is just a political stab in the dark.
So they didn't cross the border. They're going to be safe here in Mexico in a safe house where I take care of them. More information is on its way, but we are speeding to the airport right now because we have probably been compromised, and pray that we get out safe. I won't post this until we're actually safe, so don't think I'm dumb, but I want you to get it while it's happening.
All right. Hold your jokes, folks, but don't want you to think I'm dumb. I like to see through his BS, and like, I can see the wheels turning in his head, just like you said. You can see how he's, you know, spinning his proposition to cater to a certain audience. And then also, like, I think we've just been compromised. Whoa, was that like gunfire over my head? Timmy Rambo is here to save the day.
Yeah, and this sounds a lot like the story that he started OER with. I was around at fundraisers when he told his founder's story about a kid that was being trafficked across the border, and he shows up on scene, and the kid runs up into his arms, and he's like, "Papa," or something, says something to Tim, runs up, he scoops up him up in the arms, and he's like, "Oh my gosh, we saved this kid from being trafficked." And I dedicated my life at that point to fighting human trafficking and stuff. Some great reporting has been done. I wish I had the sources right on hand, but you can Google search this. That story is full of holes, and the reality couldn't be different. Tim showed up 40 minutes after the kid was taken into custody.
You're so lucky I have it right here.
You do?
Yeah.
Oh, was that part of your presentation?
No, it wasn't, but I just know where it is. Per the assistant U.S. attorney of the Buchanan case, Buchanan is the guy who held like this young little boy as a legitimate, you know, victim of his. So Buchanan is a really bad guy. Tim just inserted himself that he was the one who helped save him on the border. Serenado. So Ballard filed a report which clearly states that ICE agents did not interview the boy victim. Serrano continues, any assertion stating otherwise is incorrect. Ballard was an ICE agent on the case. So this just basically is, Tim has always said one story about how he went out and he bought him a burger and he gave him that necklace, and he has the whole founder story. It's part of the Sound of Freedom movie. I've heard him say that speech over and over again. Mm-hmm. All of that stuff not only just didn't happen, and it's a lot of different storylines mixing together. These documents prove that he never was alone with the boy to ever interview him or have a conversation to buy him a burger to get the necklace.
Does it also state in there that the man that trafficked him was his grandfather?
No, it was actually his uncle? The boy lived with his grandma, and Earl Buchanan was his landlord.
Landlord. Okay. But the boy was turned over to him by the grandma, and who then he then exploited the kid. It wasn't, Tim portrays it as these bad men come across the border and kidnapping, snatching up children and taking them back to a four. for exploitation.
Right. Like he sometimes tells the story. He's told it a couple different ways. Mm-hmm. The true story is, yeah, he lived in like San Bernardino with his grandma and his older sister. And Buchanan would take him in his van down to Mexico to go visit like Buchanan's family. And this boy was literally molested and had horrible things done to him and given drugs to fall asleep. And he had like a whole toy room set up for him. And there's videotapes and stuff. So that part of it is true. However, Tim has inserted himself into that story and said a couple different things, that either the boy was from Mexico and he was being like smuggled into into America to be a sex slave, or vice versa, that he was smuggled down to Mexico for these sex parties and stuff. Neither of those are even true. That this little boy, he did have a devastatingly horrible life of rape. It just had nothing to do with like American border policies. Mm-hmm. So people at the border did stop them and did discover that this boy didn't have his ID on him. And there's no reason why this man should be with this boy. They investigated. They started to notice that like he had some videotapes. Tim has always inserted himself that he watched the videotapes and that he was like, oh, this videotape of this man raping this boy, that's the boy that's outside right now. These files indicate that Tim had nothing to do with this story. And we've been trying for a long time to get his like former coworkers and stuff, the people who were there that day when Buchanan was arrested, to say what exactly happened. And this is the best that we have right now, is that reports of the interview of Jose by ICE agents. Defendant insists that ICE agents interviewed the 5-year-old boy who accompanied defendant at the Calexico port of entry on July 3rd, 2006. In support of his claims, he attached a portion of a report from the San Bernardino Sheriff's Department indicating that ICE agents cared for the boy. However, he fails to acknowledge a report of investigation written by the ICE agent involved in this case, Tim Ballard, about the night of offense, which clearly states that ICE agents did not interview Jose and referred him to Imperial County Child Protective Services in accordance with agency policy. The government can't produce what doesn't exist. And again, Tim has said that he personally took him out of that facility to go interview him and take him out for a hamburger. That's kind of like depicted in The Sound of Freedom.
Yeah.
And there, anybody who knows how like Child Protective Services and law enforcement, a boy who just came out of such a devastating situation is not going to be let loose to any old ICE agent just to go, hey, you want to go out for a burger and hang out alone? Like the procedures and protocol, anybody who knows what they're talking about inside government agencies would laugh at that situation being allowed. But that's Tim's talking to people who don't know. Like, yeah, that's a believable, cute story of how I bonded with this boy.
Yeah. And what's kind of disgusting is that it seems painfully obvious that his comments about the border, calling out the current administration, talking about the border crisis from a Trump perspective, he's using that situation and the 14 kids for his own political gain. Like, that's just so painfully obvious. And if that's where his head is, while he's supposedly racing to the airport or to escape drug cartels that are hunting him down, trying to kill him, it's like, oh, wait. Let me talk about the border crisis and why I'm the guy to solve it. And Trump, are you listening?
Yeah.
Really? That's where your head's at?
Mm-hmm. All right, Ryan. So bringing this all back around, I am in this first and foremost so that Tim cannot get away with smearing these victims. Because we didn't rescue the rest of these kids at this raid, the blood is on the hands 100% of the lawyers and of Sasha. So I want to read and finish this off with a little bit of who Sasha is and to counterbalance what she has been through at the hands of Tim Ballard and this couple's ruse, what she was manipulated spiritually, physically into doing, all to save the kids, and then how Tim talks about her now.
Okay, and we need to put a trigger warning before this, right?
Yeah.
Because this is hard stuff.
Yeah, but I think it's important to read anytime I can just read their direct words from the lawsuit. I think it really hits it home about what they've been through. If you're not able to get your hands on it, I will leave a link down below to the full lawsuits so that you can read through them yourself as well. I think it's an important piece to really internalize what these women have been through. Sasha Hightower goes by WW in the lawsuits. She's an actress and a rape survivor herself before she even went into OUR. Accusations against Tim Ballard, a couple highlights include: caressed my inner thigh, stroked my neck, grabbed my butt, hand quite close to my groin, undressed by escort while he watched, groped in crotch by escort while he watched, groomed to kiss his neck, thought I would be raped by female trafficker while he watched, rolled on top of him while topless in effort to prevent assault by escort. So if you remember back to what Tim said, mm-hmm. is that she's so hot and that she wants millions of dollars is what he's saying, because I touched her thigh. And he's like, I probably did, because we're riding around in taxis that are owned by the cartels. And so he's also completely misrepresenting to audiences like Last Dispensations channel what the women are even alleging. Shall I go on?
Yeah. Deny and deflect. Deny any wrongdoing and deflect the blame to her.
I'm going to read a little bit of her story. This is how it kind of started. On April 19th, 2021, I'll replace WW with Sasha. On April 19th, 2021, Sasha reached out to Ballard via Instagram because he was dating a man that she thought might be involved in trafficking. April 20th, 2021, Ballard responded via Instagram and invited Sasha to his office in Lehigh to discuss her concerns. As Sasha came to Ballard's office, she perceived the OUR employees were suspicious and leery of her. And then, Ryan, what do you think happened next?
I think she probably was targeted for an audition.
You would be correct. Ballard then said he noticed from WW's Instagram profile that she was an actor. Ballard asked if Sasha had considered going undercover. Sasha answered no, but that she'd definitely consider it. Ballard had Sasha sign an NDA and told Sasha how important it was that she never speak a word to anyone, not even friends or boyfriends, because people's lives were on the line. He further explained, go ahead.
That's like such a red flag. And I don't blame Sasha, because nobody knows how this undercover anti-human trafficking works, but what a great tool for a groomer to have. Like, I just met you. I want to talk with you more about this. NDA, boom. And once you sign that, then they have leverage over and control over who you talk to and what you say under threats. I mean, that is like such a great tool if you're a groomer and if you're a predator.
And also, like we've talked about, putting it on the forefront, what would you do to save kids?
Yeah.
So you questioning me, you not signing this, I guess your heart's not really in it. I can go find somebody else down the street, you know?
I don't know why NDAs are like even part of any of this.
Yeah.
It really shouldn't be. It's if you feel the need to legally keep people silent, there's a problem there.
Mm-hmm. If you don't want when people work for you or they have relationships with you in any way being talked about publicly, you should probably have better behavior. And so under the guise that it's about people's lives being on the line, this is about saving kids, he explained further the gravity and severity of what was at stake in order to protect women and children and the ops. Sasha was not given a copy of this NDA. Ballard then proceeded to tell Sasha that female operators are crucial to OUR's work. Ballard told Sasha about a tactic they use called the couple's ruse. Ballard explained that they were running into problems on operations when male operators did not engage in sex acts. And he said that if male operators don't touch the women or children, the traffickers would figure out that it was a sting and would create danger for all. Ballard told Sasha how the couple's ruse came to him by revelation from God, as there was no way he could have thought up such a brilliant ruse. Ballard then told Sasha that if she could act like the jealous girlfriend, then she could block for Ballard and Ballard would block for her. Ballard explained that Sasha was like the cock blocker. Ballard expounded by saying that he would take women into couples' massage parlors or strip clubs and act as a kinky couple ready to do sexual and deviant things, but that there would be no kissing and no touching genitals except for his arms around the woman's waist, maybe on your back pocket, etc., and that it would be super safe because there would be a team around the corner watching everyone's safety. Ballard explained to Sasha that if she agreed to go on an op, she would be part of the communications by watching and reporting on activities surrounding the sting. So it's set up as this is totally a normal thing that we do. You're protected. Yeah, we have to do this operation to save the kids in this one way. You could be a really vital part of it, and you don't even need to worry. If I'm just going to touch you gently so that you think that so that people think that we're a couple together, and she does not even know the NDA of what she's, you know, going to now be manipulated and sign up for. And just Tim's going to keep pulling her in more and more to get to do more and more things, to the point where once I get to the bottom of reading this, I don't think she would ever sign up if she knew that it should be so unprotected, mm-hmm. as Tim left her so vulnerable in these sex parlors to the point that she felt like she was about to be raped on multiple occasions. So Ballard told Sasha that he preferred to hire actors because cops could not act very well, resulting in the traffickers not being fooled. Ballard explained that traffickers can smell cops a mile away. Ballard asked Sasha what she thought, and she responded that she was on board because she was a rape survivor herself and felt strongly that she should help women and children. Ballard responded by saying, "You are a rape survivor yourself? Wow, that would be a powerful story." He also said, "I feel like you have to be hand-selected from God because there are so many I can't trust. We have thousands of applications every week, but I can't just bring in anyone. To be honest, I felt pretty important and believed him." That's what Sasha says. Any thoughts on that?
Yeah, there's he's introducing this element of, I guess you could call it priesthood or authority or elevating himself and conflating what he's doing with a mission from God. And while he might believe that, that is very manipulative on a spiritual level. It's spiritual manipulation. Yeah.
And that's one of those things where I don't know how Tim's going to deny that. That's, he's so Mr. Spiritual Guy on every other mm-hmm. way that he talks about everything. I don't think there's any way he's going to get out of the women being able to prove and have so much corroborating evidence that, yeah, Tim said that I was hand selected by God. And talking to a Mormon woman, I don't know if Sasha is Mormon, was Mormon, is religious at all, but we do come from a culture where a male authority figure who you look up to, you think they have a legit operation, they're doing something
endorsed by Elder Ballard.
Yeah, has all of these accolades behind him. Yeah, you would think in that kind of vulnerable situation that he knows something that I don't know. And if I'm hand selected by God to do this, and it's for the betterment of saving kids from a life of rape, you are just absolutely manipulated into doing whatever Tim says from that point forward.
And so, I'm sure his defense is like, I was just talking, you know, what she's saying is probably not true. He probably would say that. He would deny it. He would deny saying, but, I knew Tim for 7 years we worked together, and the language that Sasha uses in here sounds exactly like the things that I heard him say hundreds, if not thousands mm-hmm. of times. He would ascribe credit for his ideas, for what he's doing, as inspired by God, coming from God. He's the prophet of the American covenant. He's doing God's work, and he would use this religious language to support what he was doing on a spiritual level, from a religious level. And so he'd use language that, you know, people would pick up on, especially Mormons. And what she's describing, I can almost hear it, like reading that, like in his own voice. It sounds wow. exactly like things I've heard. So I'm mm-hmm. saying, I'm calling out Sasha as a credible witness at a credible source. And from my experience knowing Tim for many years, this seems like the kind of things that he would say. Something else that jumped out at me is Tim said, according to Sasha's testimony, that the traffickers can smell a cop from a mile away. But somehow sweet, nice, kind middle-aged Mormon women or Utah women that are moms, that doesn't raise suspicions at all. I mean, you look, go ahead and watch the press conference. You see anything yeah. from these women that's on camera, their persona, how they represent themselves, how they talk and stuff. They are the furthest thing away from a creepy person that I could possibly think of.
Yep.
The kind of person that would go down and exploit kids. I think he's just pulling from the wrong talent pool, completely pulling from the wrong talent pool, whether you'd have to be an absolutely amazing actress and totally go into a really dark character to come off convincing that you're this creepy pedophile trying to exploit kids. Mm-hmm. Like, these aren't the women to do that.
Right. And if the couple's ruse came from God, and we've talked about how his partners for the couple's ruse have often been inspired by Catherine, his wife, saying who he should have as the next ruse partner, or his psychic, Janet Russin. And all of these things leading these women to believe that they're chosen for this operation, and they're put and set up to fail to begin with, let alone what Tim is going to do to them in these situations. They don't have the training, but they do have the spiritual manipulation and grooming to think that they will be able to get out of these places and do something worthwhile. But it's a complete fail from the get-go. It should have never even gotten off. So I think that's also a really good point, that you can't go to Draper, Utah and pull somebody out of like the carpool lineup with their kids and then send them into a brothel in Mexico and have them fit right in. And Tim's like, yeah, the training is making out with me and now you're ready to go. Like that's not how these operations work. Nobody in law enforcement would think that's a good idea, but Tim has all of his inspirations and reasons why.
Yeah.
It's a great idea. And it would have worked if they didn't reveal everything in the lawsuit. We would have gotten so many kids. He says, remember, she did phenomenal. And the only way to find the trafficker was using this actress and the couple's ruse. Would have gotten more kids, but she talked in the lawsuit 10 months ago.
And put a pin in two things. The grooming for these women that have probably never attended brothels, have never been part of sex parties. Put a pin in that, because I'm going to talk about that in my next investigation and reveal what that training or grooming process looked like. And also put a pin in where he got the couple's ruse ideas from. It didn't come from God. There is a person named Tom Harrison. Maybe that's God to him, but that is the source for that. And we're going to talk about that in different episodes. So pin those two things. Keep going.
Ballard asked Sasha if she could go on an upcoming op because the original girl could not go. I wonder if she's part of the lawsuit now. Sasha was moving by herself, so she explained that she could not go on the op on such short notice. Ballard responded by offering to pay for a moving van and movers to help so Sasha could go. He also gave her money to buy name brand slutty clothes for her character. Brad had given her some cash for this. Brad also mentioned to Sasha that he and Ballard thought that Sasha would be a great speaker, and Sasha responded that she'd always wanted to be. So they are taking somebody who came to Tim Ballard, who was afraid that they were dating somebody who might be involved in trafficking. She's a rape survivor herself. The training that she's going through is completely skirted over, and anything that she does think is her training, the other people that she's going to be doing these ops missions with, like Matt Cooper, immediately have flagrant disregard for the training of the confidentiality already. And then she's brought on this under this like generosity and the scope of what a lucky opportunity she is to be able to speak on future OUR events and like advocate for women who have come from similar backgrounds as herself. She is the prime victim for Tim Ballard to take advantage of, given what she's gone through. And then this lack of training that he just was able to skirt over, because if I throw some money at you, if I help you out, you know I'm a good guy and let's get this thing done. Called of God.
And the lack of training and the lack of awareness, man, what an irresponsible thing to do, to throw her into a situation like this. I mean, law enforcement, I'm sure, has multiple training tiers before they go into dangerous situations. And it just screams to me just such irresponsibility, and it's what a danger for mm-hmm. her to just say, hey, I like you, you're cute, let's go send mm-hmm. her down across the border into very dangerous situations. Like, if that's how it is, this just seems really irresponsible. Mm-hmm. And I think that can't mm-hmm. be how the best practices mm-hmm. in this industry go.
No,
just can't be.
And as we know how other industry professionals and law enforcement have also called out OUR and said, this isn't how we actually do it. And this is in no way to shame the women for ever putting themselves in this situation.
No, because
they are prime, they're just prime examples. And not to mention that everyone that we've also talked to, would you also agree with this? That I've talked to Eric Mustos, I've talked to lots of other different OUR insiders that have come out and be on our podcast, that Tim needed to be the central alpha male, and anyone who would like butt heads with, they were gone. Like, Tim didn't keep around people who would be smarter than him, who would have conflicting ideas about how to even run successful operations. If they did not fall in line with Tim as the ultimate alpha, if they were in competition to him, he made sure that they were out. So where are these women supposed to go if it's not to a bunch of like other yes men and like mm-hmm. Tim Ballard lackeys?
Yeah, the people that were that Tim hired to run OUR had, most of them had zero experience in anti-human trafficking efforts or law enforcement. I would think that law enforcement, ex-CIA, human trafficking expertise would be an absolute requirement for working at OUR in this capacity. But time and time again, we see that everybody that he hired, and I mean, I was considered for the jump team at one point, and I have zero experience in that. And I got really nervous about going on the jump team after somebody right next to me got shot.
Mm-hmm.
And Tim tried to cover up his involvement. Anyways, another story for another day. Most people that were involved, like John Moreland, don't want to say anything bad about John Moreland, but he's a businessman. He's a businessman. He became CEO of OUR. Business people with experience and ways to make money was a prerequisite for getting a director. Or if you had a private jet that you would give to Tim, that was in the case of John, then you get to be CEO. Then you get a leadership position. But law enforcement, actual expertise in the industry, not a job requirement for this kind of work.
Mm-hmm.
Naivety or inexperience actually is preferred, because then you can't challenge him on his tactics.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, you know?
Yeah. Knowing that all of those other lackeys will support him and rally around him and not the victims that he has made out of his flawed tactics to even save the kids. Tim doesn't have a vested interest in doing this the right way. To buy some slutty clothes, Ballard told Sasha that they would be talking a lot because they had to create a relationship to convince the traffickers that they were a couple, so they needed to get to know one another. In some of their training, quote unquote, training, Ballard brought up the name of Hugh V, a person Sasha actually knew prior to meeting Ballard and who was a huge part of Sasha's healing from her own abuse. So do you know who Hugh V is?
Yep.
You
know? I'm friends with them. I know him well.
Okay.
Well, I shouldn't say really well, but yeah. So Hugh ended up in the graveyard of Tim Ballard. I wonder if I'm okay telling this story. I don't think...
Say it in just the most safe general terms, okay, that they were working together, okay, and they had a disagreement. And
I'll say Hugh and Tim had a falling out. Tim accused Hugh of misusing OUR funds, and Tim began threatening a lot of people with exposing them and their supposed crimes as he saw it when the Davis County investigation started going on. Lots of people that I know that were part of the Tim Ballard graveyard. In fact, Hugh told me the term Tim Ballard graveyard came from Hugh in a conversation we were having because lots of people from former OUR circles were being reached out to by Tim and intimidated or threatened that if I go down, you're going down with me. And something along those lines happened with Hugh. And I don't want to tell his story. It's his to tell if he chooses to come forward and tell it all. But I know Hugh well enough to know that I'm impressed with him and his great character. And Tim throwing Hugh under the bus as somebody that can't be trusted is it's not true.
Yeah, so that further kind of corroborates exactly what she's saying here, that Ballard told Sasha that Hugh was not to be trusted along with many other people in his organization. Sasha was sad to hear that about Hugh, but Sasha trusted Ballard. Ballard told Sasha that the other female operators would fall in love with him, so he had to change operators often. He's doing a ton of operations. He's been saving more kids than ever. And as he's doing that, what can you do? Also, the women just keep falling in love with me. Ballard also asked Sasha to never betray him. Ballard warned that if anything got leaked, it could put people's lives at risk. On April 28th, 2021, Sasha received an email from Hugh V asking her about Ballard's relationship with her. Sasha immediately told Ballard about the email. Ballard said his team was just looking out for Ballard and testing Sasha's loyalty to Ballard, and that Sasha passed. More training on the loyalty card than on the we're going to send you into brothels and let's make sure that everything's kosher so you don't get raped front. Ballard dismissed the others from his office, telling them he needed to prepare Sasha for the mission. I don't like what preparing means. As Sasha sat on a couch in Ballard's office, Ballard told Sasha that he needed to get to know more about Sasha so they were comfortable with each other. Ballard asked questions about Sasha's current relationship, her children, and the trauma abuse as a child. Ballard again said it would make an amazing story. Ballard came over to sit by Sasha and kept getting closer to Sasha until at one point, Ballard put his hand on Sasha's leg and caressed her inner thigh. Sasha immediately tensed up, but thought that Ballard was testing her and that she should just keep talking as if nothing were happening. Another test, he just told her something, another test was happening, and that this is not real life. I'm not actually being a gross guy right now coming on to you. This is all part of the test. See if you can mm-hmm. get the job. It's a very interesting grooming technique, especially with an NDA. Sasha kept talking as Ballard stroked her neck. Ballard finally got frustrated that she wasn't responding to his advances and asked Sasha, "Why are you not responding?" Sasha responded, "Because I know you're testing me." Ballard said he needed to know if Sasha was attracted to him. Ballard asked Sasha if she was attracted to him, to which Sasha said, "Not in that way." This is, he's striking out with the 15th cheerleader at the high school reunion. And he's just like, everyone's attracted to me. Everyone falls in love with me. That must have hit his ego hard.
He got friend zoned.
Ballard asked how Sasha could convince traffickers of chemistry then. Like, you're a professional actress or something? Psh, get out of here. I only hire you because you're hot. Sasha told him that she did not need to practice because that was what she was trained to do as an actor. Get into character, then in a role, but only on action and out on cut. Sasha explained that she never practiced chemistry or romance scenes privately outside of being on set. Ballard then stated, he's like, "Well, that's not how we do it here in Saving Sex Traffic Kids Land, okay?" Ballard then stated that this was the practice he mentioned previously and that Sasha needed to be attracted to him in order to convince traffickers that they were a kinky couple. Ballard told Sasha that he must know she could pull this off, as a prior female operator went out on a mission once and couldn't perform. So all those donor dollars were wasted and the mission to save kids failed.
Again, deflect blame. Deflect blame.
Ryan, somebody had a really good comment on our last YouTube video. And somebody said, in response to the DNA being on Celeste's skirt, and as we know, Tim is completely denied this entire time that he's done anything inappropriate. He has been nothing but just like an innocent virginal deacon as he's going into these hotbeds of debauchery, right? And there is a DNA match to his semen on the skirt. And somebody commented and said, saving sex traffic victims should never result in like ejaculation of Tim Ballard or like the operator. Mm-hmm. If that's where we're at, you're not actually in saving sex traffic kids. I think that's just a really simple way to boil it all down.
Should never include DNA found on a skirt.
Sasha approached Ballard in the hallway outside of Ballard's office and put her hand on his chest and spoke to him seductively, saying that she could turn it on if she needed to, and then pulled back immediately. But at that point, Ballard got excited and said, "Oh, good. Okay, you can do this." Sasha asked Ballard if there were cameras in the building. He panicked and looked around and said, no, we're good. Ballard continued in his couples ruse training, instructed Sasha that from the moment they got inside the plane, heading to the location, inside cars, walking on the street, anywhere except for the safe house, they were supposed to be in character as a kinky couple because the traffickers have people watching them at every move. They met with part of this where they went before flying out. They went and met with Glenn Beck. And then this is the part where they get to Puerto Vallarta. Ballard was all over Sasha with his hands on her buttocks and his hands wrapped through her legs while sitting on the airplane. Ballard and Sasha finally arrived at the very large safe house that overlooks the ocean and has a private chef. The secondary team stayed in a second location. So very nice setup, paid for by OUR. Sasha had her own room and Ballard has his. The next day, while the chauffeur drove Ballard and, oh wait, chauffeur, or was it like a taxi driven by the cartels? That's what Tim said. Drove Ballard and Sasha around. Ballard was in the backseat groping Sasha. This is where Tim's like, "Oh, because I like held her hand in the backseat. She wants millions of dollars." Groping in a chauffeur is a lot different, and it's going to get worse of what she's even alleging that Tim doesn't want to talk about. The windows were dark, but Ballard insisted that they have to remain in character. On at least one occasion, Ballard's hand got quite close to Sasha's groin area. Sasha told him that he didn't have to be so close, so she pulled back. Ballard explained that they were going out to find massage parlors. Sasha asked him how she was going to avoid having to get naked in those massage parlors. Ballard responded by telling her that it would be fine if she stayed in her underwear. Ballard says Sasha could lay face down on a shared massage table, and he would lay face up so they could still talk to one another in each other's ears. Sasha expressed concerns to Ballard, telling him that she knew the massage therapist, quote unquote, would want her to take her bra off, which she didn't want to do. So she said her story would be that she had a boob job and she could not take off her bra for support purposes. Ballard assured Sasha that he would help express that, as the escorts may be speaking in Spanish. Ballard is fluent in Spanish, but Sasha is not. First problem right there, too. Ballard located a massage parlor and instructed the drivers to drop them off. They were then taken to the back massage room, where they undressed and got on the table. Sasha was in a bra and underwear. Two women came into the room, and Ballard started speaking to them in Spanish. The two women took their own clothes off, okay, down to their underwear too, and started massaging Sasha and Tim. Tim asked questions which led them to talking about a party and him asking for Fresca's younger girls. Ballard instructed Sasha that if the escorts got too close to touching them, the code word was fuck me, to which it was Sasha's job to convince the women that Sasha needed to fuck her boyfriend and get the women out of the room. One of the massage girls undid Sasha's bra, and Sasha responded, "Oh, no, no," and told Ballard, whose op name was Brian, to tell the women in Spanish why she needed to keep her bra on. Ballard repeated that Sasha said, but only in English, not in Spanish, and the women did not care. So keep in mind, she is told that she will not have to get naked. She feels completely uncomfortable doing that, as she should. Tim says that, don't worry, we have a code word, and I will communicate in Spanish when needed. When she says no, no, and that it's not going according to plan, and they're trying to take off her bra, and that is a boundary crossing for her, Tim responds in English, knowing that they won't understand. Mm-hmm. Okay? Ballard said the code word, and Sasha immediately pretended to be jealous, telling the escorts not to touch Ballard. So he says the code word, fuck me, to the room of these half-naked, you know, massage parlor ladies, and with her bra off now, in this miscommunication from English to Spanish, at that exact moment, it sounds like Tim is saying, now that you have your bra off, fuck me, and now you need to come over here. So this is where it goes next. Sasha next said the code word because one of the women went straight for Sasha's crotch. Ballard did not respond to protect her, so Sasha repeated it again. Again, Ballard did not respond to protect her, and at which point Sasha understood that she needed to get the women out of their rooms or else she may be compromised and was in extreme danger. As part of the ruse, Sasha kissed Ballard's neck and rubbed his belly and told the women to leave as she needed to F her boyfriend. However, the women just stood back to watch. Sasha rolled over on top of Ballard so that the women could see that she was serious, as Sasha was very scared that the woman would not believe them and leave her alone. So she's now had her top undone because Tim did not tell them to stop. And now she's so scared that she's trying to get away from them. So she rolls half naked on top of Tim, probably just as his fantasies. So Sasha told them to leave again, this time with enough anger that the women left. Once the women left, Sasha realized she was topless on top of Ballard's chest. Sasha immediately got off and got dressed. A trafficker had shown up and a conversation ensued. Sasha and Ballard left the massage parlor, and Sasha immediately had a panic attack. So Ballard told Sasha, "You are burning up." Sasha was burning up and was shaking, so visibly upset, and as she should be, given the situation. So Sasha could barely walk from shaking due to what just happened. I mean, the adrenaline and somebody, the first time they're encountering real danger, real possible, you know, traffickers, and feeling so vulnerable. I can imagine the adrenaline and a panic attack racing through her body is already hard enough to experience. But also, if Tim's whole point is that cops can't do this job. It needs to be like suburban housewives and actresses and hairdressers from Utah. Mm-hmm. The second that they see somebody collapse from like the kind of trauma that they just ensued, that's going to be a dead giveaway. And I think that's happened time and time again when these women are not protected by Tim and have to go through these like really traumatic experiences. How are they going to walk out of that massage parlor without the masseuses and the traffickers saying like, yeah, I definitely have seen that actress somewhere. That ain't no kinky sex fiend. Like, this isn't their first rodeo. Tim would have to know the kind of trauma that's ensued, especially if somebody has a rape survivor. Yeah, this is not the position to put them in.
I know. Like, a rape survivor, putting them in a position where they're being touched inappropriately, where they feel threatened, where they feel like they are being assaulted, and their protector is not responding, how could that not be triggering? I'm like, it's such a vulnerable situation.
And this is like kind of standard protocol of the couple's ruse, it sounds like. So Ballard gave her a few moments to breathe, and then they were off to the next parlor. Oh my gosh. Mm. And then they're off to the next parlor. Oh gosh. Over the next 3 days, Ballard and Sasha had similar experience in massage parlors across Puerto La Vallarta. After one such sting in which Sasha obtained some phone numbers of traffickers, Ballard screamed Sasha's accolades in the car after, saying he couldn't believe what Sasha was able to do as she got so many phone numbers and that would allow OUR to save so many children. That seems like, I thought that the cars that you were in were run by the cartels and that you always had to be in character. But when they got to the car, now suddenly sounds like he's screaming, yay, we did our undercover work so well. I hope we don't get caught. He's like, we always have to be in character, except for when I need to brag about what we just accomplished. Sasha then told Ballard that she was sorry about what happened in the first massage parlor, to which Ballard responded that it was okay because he and his other operators would accidentally kiss because they were so in character. Ballard also revealed that they would often sleep together in the same safe house next to each other, snuggling because the ops are so traumatic, kind of setting it up to fail so that when the trauma comes, come to daddy. I know that was traumatic, sweetheart. Get in here. Do you want to come snuggle me? And I wouldn't pass up on that either. Like, under that circumstances, even if I was married to somebody else, I can understand being like, that was so like devastating. Is there somebody around us? Can I sleep in your bed? Can like I be next to you because of what I just experienced? So I understand like why they might want to sleep in the same bed together. But the fact that Tim would do this and he say, yeah, this is actually what we do so often. It's so traumatic that this is part of what, make it less traumatic then and put in some protocol so you don't have to do things that cross people's boundaries. That's not in Tim's like idea book of how to solve this sex trafficking global problem here.
And if that's true, that after traumatizing her and letting her be inappropriately touched and sexually assaulted, he then suggests that we sleep in the same bed together. Like, that's just so creepy.
The analogy that comes to mind is literally just like a used car salesman who has like a dealership and they sell you like a lemon of a car and proposition you that it's got all these great features. And then, but they have like this great package deal. And so then when you need it fixed, oh, and then you can also come to us and come to us and come to us to get your, you know, services to get the car back up in orderly shape. So to traumatize somebody and then to be the source to come back to trauma.
They cause the problems, but they're also the solution.
Yeah. Reminds me of other certain religious institutions. So Ballard said that sometimes things would happen in the couple's ruse and he would have to go ejaculate as things got too steamy. Sasha told Ballard, that's interesting. That won't be me. At one of the parlors, the female trafficker and Ballard were talking about something in Spanish, to which the female came directly to Sasha and grabbed her breast and crotch. Sasha said the code word, trying to play it off, and looked at Ballard for reprieve. Ballard just watched. Another indication that he's there to traumatize them. Jeez. Oh, gosh. At one point, said female trafficker brought up a younger female to take her clothes off down to her underwear and turn around for Brian. That's Ballard, to approve for an upcoming party. Ballard approved and the young female was dismissed. The older female trafficker did not want to wait for any upcoming party and wanted to partake of Sasha now. Okay. They wanted to get the party started immediately. Sasha immediately knew she was going to be raped if she didn't get out, as the female kept grabbing her forcefully and that Sasha fell on the bed. Sasha knew she had to get herself out, so she made up a story that there was a meeting that they had to go to. Ballard said, "What meeting?" Sasha left Ballard and went outside. Ballard got upset with Sasha, saying, "Why'd you leave? We were so close to getting information. We were so close to getting information that these people are rapists and you were going to be our victim. We were so close to nailing them as rapists. If only you would have stayed to be their victim." That's like his point. Like, goodness, this is dark. Oh my gosh.
This is disturbing.
Sasha told Ballard she feared she was going to be raped and was upset he didn't help her. Ballard told her he would have never let it get too far. It's already gotten too far. To which Sasha again felt bad for doubting Ballard, and she worried she stopped the opportunity for kids to be saved. Blame reversal. When they were at the safe house, in between these massage parlor missions, Ballard would answer his door in just a towel and still have her come in to talk about the op. This is still a professional apparent operation. Put some clothes on. Ballard kept saying, "You know I'm clean, right? I didn't even get turned on by this stuff. You see, I don't even get a boner. See?" I'm just kidding. He didn't say that, but maybe he did. Sasha asked Ballard why he still went on ops when he told everyone he was not doing them anywhere. Ballard responded by saying, "It makes me a big shot and I want to be in the Trump administration." Just kidding. I made that part up. Ballard responded that Elder Ballard sanctioned the couple's ruse and it was Tim Ballard's calling to do ops. Anything to say on that one, Mr.
Yes,
Ballard expert?
There is verification of that. In fact, Catherine Ballard just verified that 2 days ago in an interview that she did. And pin in that, because we're going to go into that. I'm going to show you the video. And yeah,
Timmy did what?
He did what? He did something. And that statement was just corroborated by Catherine Ballard. I'm going to show it to you next video, next investigation. So stay tuned. It's a bombshell. It really is.
Right. Can't wait for that. So Timmy did what? We'll find out in the next episode on that. So at one point, Sasha had to go to shower and get ready for an op. And Ballard said, "You can use my shower." To which Sasha responded, "No, thank you. I've got my own." Ballard double checked with her, saying that he would leave the room. And she still said no. Later, while they were eating at a safe house, Ballard confided in Sasha that things with Catherine weren't the best. Mm. Sasha asked Ballard if Catherine knew about the couple's ruse, to which he said she did. Sasha asked Ballard if she knew all the details, though, and he responded that she is such a saint, she does not ask questions, as she is willing to do anything to save the kids. Sasha told Ballard that he should stop doing ops and be at home with his family to heal, and his PTSD was very apparent, and he needed to rest and just be with his family. The last night in Puerto Vallarta was when Ballard took Sasha to strip clubs. Prior to this last night, Sasha had expressed to Matt Cooper that she was concerned about Ballard. She confided a bit to him that Ballard had been distracted, worried about her betraying him the whole time, and didn't protect her. Coop listened to her and said Ballard did need some help, but that was the extent of it. Ballard told Sasha that she was to block for Ballard, and the goal was to get girls back to the private rooms to ask questions and get phone numbers. Coop, Matt Osborne, and Jorge were all there as secondary in another part of the club. Sasha was mentally, emotionally, physically compromised after what it took to get a couple phone numbers at this club, and she told Ballard she had to be taken back to the safe house. As Sasha was leaving the sting, she observed Jorge heading back to a room alone with one of the strippers for what was going to be a pleasure trip after the op. Ballard told Sasha she had done an incredible job and this trip had done enough. So it goes on with more details from that. And I think we can just kind of leave it on the point. We're going to get into another further episode in some evidence that's come out from the Colombian trial that we don't have access to right now, but we were going to try to get our hands on, that indicate that during these types of operations, whether it's the law enforcement in the country that they're operating in or people that are supposed to be operators there to do a job and, you know, go into these brothels and strip clubs and massage parlors to look for people who are being trafficked and vulnerable people to save them from this horrific life of rape and this industry that, as it indicates here, sometimes there's also a little bit of a pleasure trip. Sometimes they're like, well, while I'm here, I can also just pay this stripper to go give me a handy in the back room. And as the Colombian trial has indicated. We'll get our hands in the documents and come at you with this information later that looks like some of the law enforcement in Colombia also had sex with these like underage potential trafficking victims while they were there to potentially save them. So
yeah, it's a new testimony that just came up in the Kelly Suarez case. And we heard about the testimony that was given just this last week. And we're waiting on reporting to verify.
Real sleazy, predatory people working within OUR that Tim knew about. And so we're going to kind of hold that tight to our chest up until after the trial ends and some more things come out. So what she just said here, what we're hearing in Colombia, people like Jorge, this person on an ops mission in the Tim Ballard video, when he's in the car with Last Dispensation, he turns the camera and he has Matt Cooper say what despicable people these women are and how they compromise this whole mission. And he also talks to this other ops person whose face and voice are distorted. And he's also saying in really direct, emphatic, and disgusting terms that there's a special place in hell for Sasha. But I can kind of leave it there with Sasha's story and what Tim Ballard put her through.
Yeah, this is, I hope you're starting to see a pattern here between women that came, joined OUR with the intent to put themselves at risk in a dangerous situation and dedicate their time, energy, and lives to help human trafficking, and then become victims themselves of inappropriate sexual assault, and then to be turned around and be blamed as a human trafficker, as a pedophile, as a support of pedophiles, as you know, the blood of these children is on their hands. You see in a pattern, like that's the pattern.
Mm-hmm.
That's and Sasha's story is not an isolated incident. That's why there's so many women in this lawsuit, and they are all telling the same story. Yeah. Slightly different details, but the progression of events, what we're seeing, mm-hmm. and what hopefully you're seeing, and the dots you're connecting are, they're the same. The progression of events and the mission objective and the process for grooming.
Mm-hmm. Or just the process up. That isn't in place at OUR that we can hear from people who had nothing to do with when the couple's ruse was even revealed to Tim. That sounds like from every insider that we've talked to that we'll eventually be trying to bring on, we'll be interviewing now or in the future with our documentary. So many people are just saying that the processes that were in place, they completely point and indicate to something as like haphazard and traumatizing as things like this over and over and over again. There weren't mm-hmm. protocols and helpful people in place to prevent this type of trauma being foisted onto these young ladies.
Yeah.
So to kind of wrap this up, I want to contrast her victim statement for when, you know, the women had this press conference and they read statements and revealed their names, their faces, put themselves out there up yeah. to this criticism.
Let's just take a minute to acknowledge how amazing and courageous it is for her, for Sasha, and all these women to sit in front of cameras, to put the most humiliating aspects of their life out in the public, for the public to do what they do with, you know, and just to go put their faces and names and go on camera. Like I can't even imagine what it takes to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it obviously comes from a place where they're deeply, deeply hurt and want this person to be stopped. Like, let's just acknowledge yeah. that. Okay.
Let's well said. Exactly. So these are her own words.
How many more women have to come forward for this to be taken seriously? I am here painfully as a survivor myself because I joined with many of you once all united with the company, man, and majority of the world for a cause we all agreed on, which was to stop predators and protect women and children from sexual exploitation. What we as a group have been through and experienced personally in the same company has not just been painful for us. We know it's horrifying for many of you too. Not only has Tim continued with his elaborate storytelling and denials of our experiences, but OUR came out with the following statement. We are disappointed that the plaintiff's counsel continues to litigate this matter in public rather than accept our good faith efforts to resolve this dispute amicably. My apologies.
She goes on to say, this enrages me, and it would enrage me too, because as it states in the lawsuit, and I think this will come out as they go through the court system, that there were internal investigations and external ones that showed that Tim Ballard needed to be ousted from his own organization, which is probably the last thing that his board, most of the people on Tim's gravy train of his family, wanted to do, especially during the height of the Sound of Freedom movie, then all of this happening like last summer in 2023. So for them to say that these plaintiffs are doing this publicly, like Tim says, because they're after these millions of dollars, when they know damn well that this was not something that they wanted to take public. They don't want to air out all this kind of dirty laundry. I mean, that's like 1,000 times worse than that.
It's the most humiliating part of their life.
They handled it with an internal investigation, but they were not, Tim was not being held accountable in any way. He was able to go start the Spear Fund. He was able to have a gigantic severance package and still operate and facilitate these
and
puppet strings.
With his reputation intact.
Yeah. And get a Jeep Grand Cherokee and all of that. And he was not held accountable whatsoever, but just, you know, asked to step down. And so when all of the like Vice News articles and things and people started doing digging into what the Davis County investigators had to say, started to uncover that the things that made Tim step down from OUR wasn't just this conflict of interest because he's the Sound of Freedom guy running OUR, which is what their story
that
was.
That doesn't get you kicked out of your own organization. No, it doesn't get you forced out.
That there's more to the story now. And, you know, with the great reporting and investigative journalism out of like Vice that Tim just smeared from the very beginning is just, this is slander from the pedophiles, the traffickers, and from a tabloid magazine. It's backed up by the fact that Tim was ousted from this organization for not just like little innocuous reasons, for something very serious. And this very serious thing that they're talking about, it should enrage them that he was never held accountable. And now they have to take this public so that he is stopped and his reputation should not be maintained as this superhero saver of women after what he's done.
I would think that a good faith effort on OUR's part would have included giving them a copy of the internal investigation report that found all of the nefarious things Tim was doing, the unethical, you know, to use a term that is with a lot, that has a lot of grace, the unethical, the damaging, the hurtful things that he did, at least acknowledging those to them and to the public would be even better. That's what I would think.
Instead of gaslighting out of it.
Yeah, yeah. Good faith effort. But yeah. Instead, they issue a statement that they are disappointed in the attorneys, that they are taking this public, that's a disappointment. Yeah.
And the plaintiffs, they're disappointed in the plaintiffs.
That they're taking this.
They're disappointed in the women for taking this public. How dare you guys?
I know, like, when, you're not disappointed.
You didn't even give us a call that you were going to do this. It's just the entire internal investigation.
The disappointment should be that women have been hurt and traumatized and assaulted. That's
ridiculous.
Come on, that's a disappointment.
Thank you, Ryan. Well said. All right. It's really powerful.
Because there is a side they haven't shared. Many of us have given OUR and Tim multiple chances and warnings to take ownership, to make amends, and to protect their company and this cause privately, not only over several months, but years. They have said we are out to hurt the cause and ourselves, whoever we are. But they know who we are and have lied about us. I have risked my life for this cause, and the pain and fallout from it has been tremendous. The way in which they have handled us, the very victims they say they swear to protect, is gut-wrenching. We have not been out to get anyone. We have just told the painful and traumatizing truth. Embarrassingly, we became the victims, yes, but we are also warriors. And there are many women and men unnamed and unknown who aren't standing here who too have been hurt by this. We join this fight to rescue and protect children, women, men, and to stop predators. And we are still doing that right now by speaking this truth. How many more women have to come forward? for this to be taken seriously and be seen for what it is. If this was your wife, your mother, your sister, your friend, would it be so hard to believe it then? It's ugly, yes, but it has to be seen because this has to stop. I joined a cause to fight for victims and prevent further pain. I don't want more war, more victims, more hiding and denying for this world. I want more healing, action, and coming together. And sometimes the most painful part of that healing is telling the damn truth.
Right on, right on. She is a powerhouse. Sasha, if you're listening, we are in your corner. We believe you. We support you. And anyone else who was moved and had chills and can see the conviction in Sasha to tell the truth, no matter what it costs her, no matter how embarrassing it is, no matter the smears, these are brave, brave ass women who are able to go into these horrendous situations to begin with, and then on the other side have their name so despicably smeared by this man that was supposed to protect them, come hell or high water. Like, Ryan and I are going to keep beating this drum, and Tim thinks he's going to win this whole war, but this is just one battle. But the truth is on Sasha's side. It's on the women's side.
Yeah, I don't want to be talking about this. She's right. This is an ugly, gross, disgusting subject. But until it's stopped, we have to be talking about it. And wow, what a courageous testimony, really.
All right. And now I have to end us on even more of a downer, because at the end of the day, this is needs to be contrasted with her demeanor. So I'm going to let Tim play us out after I just went through that entire presentation.
We have to hear more of this.
And this is one of the final clips.
Blood on the hand of Alan Mortensen, Rasmussen, and Sasha. You know, and it's total betrayal to the country of Mexico. It's betrayal to our operation. And it made it especially dangerous for us because, you know, it was all out there.
Right.
But we did it anyway. And it was successful. But I just don't think people realize how much these lawsuits are hurting kids. It's giving away tactics. It's shut down the whole adoption process. 26 kids will never be adopted because we had to use that lawsuit money, that money that would have adopted kids to fight these legal battles. We're in the millions of dollars now. All right. So how do you feel, Pedro, about the fact that this woman, for money, and she doesn't even allege anything more than that I held her hand and my hand on her leg. I probably did because we're driving around in taxis that are owned by the cartel. Like, you're in roll the whole time, right? So for holding her hand in Mexico, she deserves millions of dollars, apparently. But all these kids will not be rescued. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, to be quite frank, if I just had to say one thing, if there's a special place in hell for women, they have, and they're doing this knowingly, they have impeded the rescue of dozens and dozens. I could even go as far to say hundreds over the past year of kids. I mean, operations have completely halted on many fronts. Operations I was part of, and all the hard work and all the sacrifices that we've had to make being away from families and being in danger, all so that these women can, you know, make a few dollars at the end of the day.
Well, every time I think about the 14 that we just rescued, I just know there's probably 50 more that would have been rescued had Sasha not come out banging her fist all dramatically. This has to stop. What has to stop? The only thing that stopped was rescuing children. So I don't know how you live with that, even if you end up winning millions of dollars.
I'm sorry, world, for platforming that message. I wish we didn't have to hear that. I wish you didn't have to hear that.
I wish that I could have gone off on a more positive note of just leaving with Sasha's, but I can't leave it undone without wrapping it in a bow of how we started, of how Tim is talking about these people. And after you hear Sasha's story and see her face and her tears and her testimony, and you can put the pieces of the puzzle together to know that what Tim is saying and how he is smearing them and that his stories don't even align, for him to say such despicable things after these women have already endured so much, publicly, to put that out there. What kind of guy are we talking about? Is this really a guy who's called of God, of Jesus Christ? Or is this an egomaniac, self-aggrandizing marketing effort to prop himself up as this American hero? I can only say that it just looks like it's the latter, and it's never been, and it never is going to be about saving anyone except for his ego and himself.
Yeah. I'd like to know if you are seeing what we're seeing.
Punch, 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 punch.
So
we need a rage room.
Yeah, really. We need a rage room. I'm going to have a hard time getting out of this headspace. That was hard to watch, but if you're seeing what we're seeing, please comment. Please share your thoughts. It seems painfully obvious to us where these people are, who is on the right side, who is on the insulting, demeaning side of this. Yeah, let us know what you think.
Just remember to follow us on this YouTube channel and subscribe, because we named it Timmy Did What, because there is a lot of the what to the things that he did. We have interviews coming and amazing content over on our Patreon. So patreon.com/Timmy Did What. The link is down below. It would be amazing if we could be able to do this content and endure this and stand up for the women and also be able to support ourselves and keep the lights on in the studio and all the effort and time it goes into putting this together for you guys and getting this information out. We can't do it without funding. So really important piece of this is knowing that we're going to have donors to the podcast. There's a link down below to the donor box. All donations are tax deductible in the United States to donor box. And then also people who support us with monthly donations on Patreon, just a couple bucks a month. And you can have extra things that are behind the scenes, special kind of evidences and other things we're not going to make an entire episode out of, but are going to be really amazing and fascinating things that make me and Ryan's jaw drop. So if you want to check that out, please join our Patreon. This podcast, Timmy Did What, is available wherever you listen to your podcasts, on Apple or Spotify. It'd be amazing if you could write a review and subscribe. And Ryan, do you want to lead us out with anything else you have to say?
Well, share this. This is a crusade and a cause that we're taking on, and we really need your help, both with sharing this information, getting it out. There's a whole movie that was made exalting Tim OUR and the operations. There's another side. Please share this with your friends and family so people can know what's going on. And there's a lot more that we want to explain to you and share, and we will be shortly. In fact, there's something I want to say.
Tell me. Kathy did what? I mean, Timmy, I forgot the name. Timmy did what?
To find out what Timmy did, you're going to have to join us on the next episode of
Timmy Did What? Timmy, no.